Now I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. And we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word, that you might initiate healing and transformation in our lives. We pray all of this for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today is the Sunday after the Ascension, which was recognized in our church calendar this past Thursday. 40 days after Easter, Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. On that day, Jesus gathered the disciples together, and then the hour arrived for his return to heaven. Jesus, in his resurrected body, departed the earth in the sight of the disciples. And his departure was meant to prepare the disciples for the arrival of the Holy Spirit and the next chapter of their lives. That theme resonates with our own celebration day as we recognize our graduates. We honor Ginny Driscoll, Brooks Hicken, Jule Tin, Isabel Hassel, each of them for their high school graduations. We also honor Keith and Higginbotham, Todd Nichols, Ian Counts, and Dan Driscoll for their college graduations. They've completed a chapter of their lives, and now they're launching into a new chapter. Endings and beginnings can be exciting, and they can be a little scary. Think about Jesus' followers at the time of the Ascension. Jesus was their leader. They'd been with him for 3 years. He was the Messiah, and now he was gone. And they were called to go into their new adventure. Today, I'm going to speak primarily to the graduates and to the students that are here. Some of the graduates aren't able to be here, so they're going to be watching this online. The rest of you, I promise, this all relates to you as well. But for you graduates, your moment is like the disciples. 11 of the 12 had stayed with Jesus through his death and his resurrection. And then they witnessed his ascension. They knew he was the Son of God. Prior to his death, in the midst of the Passover meal, Jesus gave an extended teaching. He was preparing his disciples for their upcoming graduation. We read a portion of that preparation in John 17. But our reading in John 17 begins as Jesus shifts gears. He had been instructing them in many things in chapters 13 through 16. And our reading in chapter 17 begins as he enters into prayer. What I'd encourage you to do this week is make a note. You're supposed to be taking these with you. Make a note to read John 13 through 16 in its entirety sometime this week. It's important teaching if you're a follower of Jesus. We pick up the reading in John 17. And as I said, Jesus shifts gears. And he goes from instruction and preparation into prayer. He prays to the Father. And he prays for his followers, his disciples. So graduates and students, prayer is important. Jesus was one with the Father, and yet on many occasions he stepped aside to pray, to talk to the Father. Not just to talk, but also to listen. I'm sure at times God reminded Jesus of Holy Scriptures, and Jesus reflected on Holy Scriptures in the presence of the Father. So remember to set time aside to pray. God invites you into his presence whenever you want. He's there. He loves you, and he wants to hear your successes and your struggles. He wants to hear your grief and your pain. He wants you to know he's there for you. He wants to be present in those moments of prayer by His Holy Spirit. So follow Jesus' example wherever you're going next. And regularly take time to pray and to talk with and listen to the Lord. Now in His prayer, Jesus reminds the disciples and He reminds each of you, every one of you. Verse 2 of our gospel reading. Jesus reminds them that God had given Him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all who believe in Him. Verse 3, Jesus says, "And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You've sent." So students, and especially graduates, you have the rest of your lives before you. Remember that by your faith in Jesus, you've received an eternal kind of life from Jesus. You have eternal life. Don't let the world deceive you into believing that other priorities might surpass that gift of eternal life that you have in Jesus Christ. College will offer empty promises of fulfilling life. Career will offer you empty promises of fulfilling life. But remember that nothing in this world will ever truly satisfy or fulfill you. Because truly fulfilling life is only found in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. Now, this is an age of great insecurity, great fear, not just for students, not just for graduates, but for all of us. In this age of insecurity, you're driven to question and to doubt everything. Who am I? Am I okay? What am I? Am I loved? Am I rejected? Am I liked? Am I good enough? Talking especially to the graduates and to the students, I know each of you. I know that you have faith in God the Father. You know God the Father, and you know Jesus Christ, whom He sent. I know that by faith you have salvation in Jesus' name. So in this age of insecurity and fear, I remind you today that you all have hope and security in Jesus that the world will never find apart from Him. And you need to remember that. In Christ, you have truly fulfilling life regardless of your circumstances. It surpasses all that you will experience. In Christ, you can know who you are, a beloved son or a beloved daughter. In Christ, you can be assured that you belong, that you're a member of His family. That's guaranteed by your faith. In Christ, you are good enough. And that's true not because of who you are, but because of Christ who lives in you. I encouraged you all today to sit with your families, to sit in a family group. I love that each Sunday, our students all sit together in one area, together to worship together. But today I wanted you, with family, to remind you that when you're struggling, when you feel insecure, when you feel alone, you have your family who can remind you who you are in Christ. They know you. And in addition, you have your Redeemer Student Ministry family and your group of faithful Christian friends also to remind you who you are when you're struggling. At those times that you need encouragement, it's not easy, but I challenge you to call and ask for prayer, to ask for that encouragement. Don't stay in the darkness, but bring light. Allow light to come in. When you're praying for others, remember the first suggestion was remember to pray. When you're praying, the Holy Spirit will prompt you to reach out, maybe to your parents, maybe to a friend, and maybe you'll think, nah, I don't need to be talking to them right now. But I encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit, because He may bring you encouragement from them that you didn't know you need, or He may use you as you call a friend or as you call your family to bring encouragement to them. Don't forget your family as you move into this new season. So we've discussed prayer and we've discussed who you are in Christ. My final point hits on uncertainty. I'm sure that all of the graduates have questions as they move into this new season, whether from high school or whether from higher education. And truthfully, those questions and concerns never leave. They're present with each one of us. What's next? What's going to happen next? I want to call your attention to our reading from Acts chapter 1. So on page 3, we're going to look first at verse 6 at the bottom of page 3 of your leaflet. So for 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, he had been with the disciples and he had been, I'm sure, instructing them and preparing them. Verse 6, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? The disciples asked Jesus, what's next? The disciples are anxious. Jesus, I think, has been clear. He's not going to be with them forever. He's prepared them. They're anxious. They're nervous. They want to know. Look how Jesus answers it. So turn the page. Verse 7. Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. He says to them, don't be worried about tomorrow. It's not for you to know what's going to happen next. It's not for you to understand the future. And the next word Jesus says in verse 8 is, but. You don't need to understand what's coming, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In the midst of their uncertainty, their anxiety, he gives them a promise. Then he gives them a commission, tells them what they're to be about. Jesus tells them, don't worry about what's next. You can trust me with all that. I've got it. Remember who you are and know that by your faith in me, you will possess power by the presence of my Spirit in you, and therefore you will be my witnesses. Now, graduates, as you move into this new season, by your faith in Jesus, you have that power. The disciples had to wait. By your faith in Jesus Christ, you have that power, as do the rest of you who have faith in Jesus Christ. You have that power of the Holy Spirit in you, and He has put a calling on you as His beloved son or beloved daughter to be His witness, to bring good news and hope and eternal life to those around you, wherever you are. So in Christ, you are a new creation. In Christ, you have an eternal kind of life. You have hope and peace that the world can't provide. And you have a calling to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus. So you don't have to be perfect. Most of our anxiety comes from the fear that we're going to mess up. Okay? Here's what I can tell you. You're going to mess up. You may not be convinced that I'm right, but I'm convinced that I'm right. We all do. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to worry or be anxious about what will happen next. You can trust your Lord and Savior, Jesus, with all of that. He has all authority over heaven and earth. He's commissioned you. He will lead you and guide you, and He will be with you. He is with you. So your job is to abide, to remain connected to Him. That's the answer to the question you may have been wondering. Well, wait a second. If I'm not supposed to worry, if I'm enough, what do I do? Abide. That's your job. That's your calling. To abide in Him and to be His witness wherever you are. Because Jesus is the vine and you are the branch. This is from John 15. It's within that teaching that I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon. Jesus, in the midst of the Passover meal, was instructing and preparing the disciples. And part of that was the metaphor of the vine and the branches. I preached on it last week. The church heard it. If you missed it, students, you may have missed it. Listen to it this week. If you're not sure how to use the internet, your parents can show you. But it's on our website. You can find it there. Because that's your job. Abide. Jesus is the vine and you are just a branch. And if you remain connected to the vine as His branch, you will live and you'll bear fruit. But if you disconnect from Jesus to the vine, just like if you cut a branch off from a tree or from a vine, what happens? It dies. You will wither and die if you don't stay connected to Jesus. Abide. Abide in Christ. Pray and talk to Him. Read and reflect on His living Word. And in the midst of that, remember, you have His power in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And by the Spirit's power in and through you, you will be witnesses. You will be His witnesses. So listen to me, graduates, and listen to me, church. Stay connected to Jesus, the vine. Abide in Jesus, and you will bear much fruit for His kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.